Good morning and welcome. I invite you to mute as we sing our opening hymn, Jerusalem, number 620. Service continues with the confession on page 41 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your handout. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him, let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient heart confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. And we say together, Almighty and most merciful Father, We have erred from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have again offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy on us. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent. The Almighty and Merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouth shall work our
praise.
Glory to the Father,
the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 107, found on your handout or on page 743 of the prayer book. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let all those whom the Lord has redeemed proclaim
that he redeemed them from the hand of the foe.
Gathered them out of the lands.
From the east, from the west, north, and from the south.
Some were fools and took to rebellious ways.
They were afflicted because of their sins.
They abhorred all manner of food.
And drew near to death's door.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble.
And he delivered them from their distress.
He sent forth his word and healed them.
And he saved them from the grave.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy.
And the wonders he does for his children.
Offer twice of thanksgiving.
And tell of his acts with shouts of joy.
A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people came impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you in saying Canticle 14, a song of penitence with me. It's in the Book of Common Prayer on page 90 or in your booklet. O Lord, and ruler of the hosts of heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of all your righteous offspring, you made the heavens and the earth and all their vast array. All things quake with fear at your presence. They tremble because of your power. But your merciful promise is beyond all measure. It surpasses all that our minds can fathom. O Lord, you are compassionate, suffering and abounding in mercy.
You hold back your hand.
Do not punish as you deserve.
And now, Lord, I bend the knee of my heart. Forgive me, Lord, and forgive me. Do not let me lie. I am in your presence. Amen.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Our second reading is from Ephesians 2. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please mute as we sing together our sequence hymn, number 671, Amazing Grace.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should, may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but the earth of the world may be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe in him are condemned already. Because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is a judgment of the light that has come into the world. People love darkness rather than light because of deeds are evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light. So the deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true becomes the light. So they can be clearly seen to the deeds of and done in God. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So imagine you're out in the woods hiking with a friend or a group of friends, and you come across this clearing, and there is a stream, and on the other side, just at the water's edge, you see a cave. And you and your friend say, "Let's go over and look in the cave." And so you get across the stream and you start walking in the cave, and it's a little bit squashy, but that's fine. And as you go deeper and deeper, it feels so good because it's nice and cool inside, and you're exploring and going deeper and deeper. And suddenly you feel something cross your foot. And our imaginations run wild. I kind of want to know what it was, but I don't want to know what it was. And that feeling of terror and every single nerve ending wide awake saying, "Where's the light switch and get me out of here?" We know that feeling. We don't like the dark. The dark scares us. And in Christianity, dark is that place of chaos and the unknown and danger. We don't want to be there. I love the quote from Barbara Brown Taylor. She's a priest who wrote this book about learning to walk in the dark. And she writes, "Darkness is shorthand for anything that scares me, that I want no part of. Either because I am sure I do not have the resources to survive it, or because I do not want to find out. The absence of God is in there, along with the fear of dementia and the loss of those nearest and dearest to me. So is the melting of polar ice caps, the suffering of children, and the nagging question of what it will feel like to die. If I had my way, I would eliminate everything from chronic back pain to fear of the devil for my life and the lives of those I love. If I could just find the right night lights to leave on. At least I think I would. The problem is this: when despite all my best efforts, the lights have gone off in my life, literally or figuratively, take your pick, plunging me into the kind of darkness that turns my knees to water, nonetheless, I have not died. The monsters have not dragged me out of bed and taken me back to their lair." We know that feeling, that weak in the knees, absolute terror. That desire to keep all the lights on in the house all the time because we fear the dark. And like I said, with Christianity, it's not only darkness, it's evil. It's the sins of the world. It's all those creepy, crawly things that live within us. It is all those things that we like to hide from and to hide from each other. We know the list. Jealousy, rage, fear, anxiety, resentment, anger, blame, irrationality, irritability, negativity, apathy, addiction, melancholy. But wait, there's more. There's grumbling and complaining and judging and being critical. And we know we have probably done each and every one of those, and there's more. I could go on, you could go on. And what I think about is the people of Israel today are filled with that darkness, that creepy crawly. This is in the book of Numbers, it's what we started with today. And we know the people of Israel have crossed from slavery, from a life of slavery, hardship, death, into a life of freedom. And they're saying, we don't like it here. We don't know it. We don't like it. We're missing our conveniences, the food, like it falls from heaven. And if you wait a day, then it turns into maggots. Like, who wants that? The water, we have to walk for days looking for water. And they're grumbling against Moses and they're grumbling against God. And while we know that it's okay to get angry with God, we also know there's consequences, because God is going to then ask us to take action. But what God does is he sends poisonous snakes that start biting the people and killing them. And so the people turn to Moses and they say, do something, do something. And so God speaks with Moses and he says, make a bronze serpent and put it on a stake, and everybody who looks up at that bronze serpent will be saved. They will live. And the people do. Those who have been bit look at the snake and they're saved. And we say, that's a strange little story. And just looking at a bronze snake, how does that save? But it also ties into the gospel for today, John's gospel, where Jesus starts out, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. It's that idea of whoever turns to that which heals us, saves us, brings us new life. It just so happens this past week, it's one of those synergy things that was happening. In the women's Bible study group, we were talking about the original Palm Sunday procession, that first time that Jesus goes to Jerusalem and he's on the donkey and all the disciples are gathered around. And I invited everybody to imagine that they were there. Imagine the sights and the sounds and the smells and the crowds. And you could be Jesus or the donkey or the disciple or a bystander, whoever you wanted to be. And then we talked about what it would have been like to be in that crowd. And we're looking at Jesus because what is going on here and how exciting all of this is. And then Jesus turns and looks directly at you. What that would feel like to gaze upon Jesus and have him gaze at you. But it also worked with the Lenten book study that we are reading, where a week ago I had asked people to spend 5 minutes a day with Jesus, looking at Jesus, keeping your mouth shut and listening. And we talked about how that feels to put yourself in the presence of Jesus, how it's exciting and terrifying, makes our skin a little crawly, filled with excitement, filled with the Holy Spirit, that brings us to tears when we recognize that Jesus knows us, warts and all, and loves us into health. And that's what today in Numbers and the gospel is talking about, putting our gaze on Jesus, the great physician, the light of the world, the light that came into the world, not to condemn the world, but to bring us to eternal life, to save us from sin and darkness, to save not only us, but the world. And all we have to do is turn to him. But what we know is that we're not quite ready to fully turn to him. And so in Ephesians, Paul says to us, you were dead through your sins. You were living a half life. You were not freely living into all the possibility that your life holds. And we know that's true. He suggests that maybe we're living to society's ways, not his ways. But we also know those dark spots within us that we're not quite ready to give up. We kind of like some of them. They kind of keep us company when we're lonely or angry or sad or hungry or tired, or the list goes on and on and on, and we pull out those deep, dark secrets. We like to play with them. It's like playing with fire. like eternal fire. But we're still not ready to give them up. We kind of like them, just a little bit. But Paul reminds us that God in his mercy raises us up, not through our own power, which is what we try to do. I want to choose what goes, when it goes, how it goes. And Paul reminds us it's not through our power. It's God who saves. God who brings us new life. And it ties us into John 3:16, which we heard today and which is so familiar, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that all who believed in him shall have eternal life. It was about God's love for the people of Israel in the desert. Yes, God sent a little bit of anger their way and gave them a way to be saved. God sends a little bit of wrath our way and sends us the light of the world, sends us his son because he loves us. Just turn to him, gaze on him, and you will be saved. But like I said, for whatever reason, we're not quite ready to flip that light switch. We're not ready for the light of the world to come into every single part of our lives. We want control over that. And maybe we're a little bit afraid of if God gets rid of that, then like the gospel says, 10 others might take their place. And better the devil you know, right? But if we keep our gaze on Jesus, keep our gaze on that strong man, those other 10 can never come in. I'm going to invite you this week to think about, are you willing to open up your life to Christ? To have him shine that light in the darkness of your lives and bring life and healing. Amen. I invite you into a minute of silence. I invite you to join in the words of the Apostles' Creed found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 54 or in your booklet. And remember, we are in rite one, so some of the words are a bit different. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, lived under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of
Amen. Prayers are found on page 97 of the prayer book or in your booklet. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
Amen.
Suffrages are found on page 55 or in your booklet. O Lord, save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Day by day we magnify thee.
And we worship thy name ever, with world without end.
Vouchsafe, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us.
As our trust is in thee.
O Lord, in thee have I trusted.
Let me never be confounded.
Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of thy Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of thee, that the days to come may be spent in thy favor, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of thy faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before thee for all members of thy holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and godly serve thee, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Of the people is found on page 329 of the prayer book or in your booklet. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Lynn and Gary, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially our president, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor Kimberly, Jay, Jen and John and family, Don M, Jim L, Ray, Dick, Amanda and Billy, Bob R, Bonnie, Carson, Ann, Laura, Ashlyn, Betty, Bob, Jerry, Julie and Ben, Cheryl, Jean, Nicole, Brian, Cheryl, Eliza Jane and family, Douglas, Richard, Kathy, Lindsay, Tammy S., John, Muriel, Heather, Andy, Jim and Marietta, Pam, Colleen, Steve, Jamie, Lisa, Michael, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn, and all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of St. James and all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
I invite you to join with me in the general thanksgiving found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 101 or in your booklet. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation and preservation and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and the hope of the whole glory. And we pray, give us such awareness of your mercies that we truly thank our hearts. We may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
I invite you to join me in singing our closing hymn number 690, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and please remember to mute. Thank you. bow down before the Lord. Look down in mercy, Lord, on your people who kneel before you, and grant that those whom you have nourished by your word and sacraments may bring forth fruit worthy of repentance through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Thanks.